All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Achievement Apex podcast, the podcast where I share my knowledge and experience on various topics so that hopefully you can learn something new that you can implement into your life to make it better in one way or another. I'm your host, Brendan Murphy, and today we're going to be talking about everything that you can do to reduce your maximum drawdown in trading. And we'll kick things off by asking, what is drawdown? And drawdown could mean something as small as an individual loss. It could be a string of losses, or it could be the total amount of money you'll ever lose when the absolute worst case scenario happens. This, like, usually if the market crashes, you might lose 60% of your money or something like that. So that would be your maximum drawdown. And then individual drawdowns is like, well, how much did I lose today? What's the most that I lost today? And in this podcast, we'll be covering both of those, how you can reduce everything from your short-term drawdowns to your grand scheme maximum drawdown. So to give you some context as to why we should actually aim on reducing drawdown rather than just shooting for the moon with profits, it's because when you reduce drawdown, obviously, one, you have smaller losses. And number two, those smaller losses lead to bigger profits. Number three, those two together lead to more consistent results. More consistent results lead to a better life, less stress. You don't have to worry about money, paying the bills, all this kind of stuff. And number five is a better life equals better trading. Because if you have no stress in your life, you can chill out when you trade. You don't have to be on edge all the time, like wondering, should I take this trade? Should I not? Should I violate my strategy? Does my strategy suck? You know it's good because you're getting consistent results and you're living great from it. So that's why we should reduce drawdown. Basically, more consistent results and less stress. And to give you an example of what level of drawdown you should be shooting for, in terms of max drawdowns, like the worst case scenario, if you're a scalper, so you're trading every little market move, you should be aiming for like 2.5 to 7.5% maximum drawdown. This is because as a scalper, you're profiting off tiny moves, right? You don't have the potential to take a huge move and make money from it, which means equally, you shouldn't have the potential to take a huge loss. You should have really tight stop losses, which would make your maximum drawdown ideally very low. Because if your maximum drawdown as a scalper is like 65% and you're making like 0.1%, if you lose 60%, you're gonna have to make like 300% just to get back to where you were. So basically, like the shorter time frame you're trading, the smaller your max drawdown should be. If you're a day trader, I'd say you should aim from somewhere around 5% to 15% at the very most. Personally, I aim for 5 to 10%. I plan for and I backtest for a 5% max drawdown, but I realize that past results don't guarantee future success. So if I plan for 5% and I give myself a margin of error of an extra 5%, then I can handle a 10% max drawdown. If you're a swing trader, I'd say aim for around 10 to 30%. And then if you're an investor, I'd say probably 20 to 60%. Although for most people, if you're like a really passive kind of investor, you're probably going to be closer to that 60% mark, might even be a little bit more. For example, in 2008, the market lost about 65% of its value. If you were a passive investor and you didn't touch that, you would have also lost that amount. Whereas if you were, say, a day trader and you saw the moving average pointing down, so you said, all right, that's hands off, I'm not buying, you could have capped your maximum drawdown and not lost anything during the crash. And again, I want to stress, don't be a day trader if you can't handle day trading. It's a lot more stress than passive investing. It's a lot more time. If you don't have the time, the commitment, the control over your emotions, it's probably not for you, okay? But that's just kind of an example of what kind of level of drawdowns you should be aiming for, depending on your style of investment. So now we get into the juicy stuff. Ways to reduce your drawdown. So the first thing you should be doing, if you're not already, to reduce your drawdown is backtest your strategy. I'm going to say this in so many more videos to come, but it's literally the most important thing you can be doing. And I know it's boring, it takes time, it's a bunch of numbers. And when you come up with a new strategy, you're really sure that it's good, right? Yeah, this is so much better than my last one. I'm just going to trade it straight away. I know what it's like. I've been there. When I first started trading, I would never backtest. And if I did, I'd backtest for like a month and be like, yeah, it worked last month. It's going to work now. The strategies were great. I'd put them into practice. They wouldn't work. And eventually I learned my lesson. Okay, I do have to backtest. So when you backtest, I think the best thing to do is not just backtest once. You should backtest and then actually like write notes about the backtest. When you have a string of winners, what made these winners good? When you have losers, what made this bad? when you finish the back test, look over those notes and think, okay, how can I adjust my strategy to alleviate some of these losers and increase some of these winners? That's how you're going to reduce your drawdown, not just by backtesting. Backtesting really does nothing. It's taking the results from backtesting and implementing them into your strategy. That's where the gold is. So you've backtested, you've taken notes, you've adjusted, then you backtest again. Hopefully the results are better. Now make new notes about what's good and what's bad. Repeat this process. Backtest, adjust, backtest, adjust. The longer you do this, the better, but there is kind of like diminishing returns as you do it. Your first backtest and adjust cycle is gonna have like huge performance gains, but then your 10th one is gonna have like 1% better results. And at that point, is backtesting for like 2 hours or something worth the 1%? If it is for you, then backtest more. If it's not worth it for you, then you've probably backtested enough. Ideally, you should be doing at least two of these. Backtest, adjust, backtest, adjust. And again, the more the better. Okay, the second thing you should be doing to reduce your drawdown is adjusting your portfolio. So if you're only trading on one instrument, let's say, I don't know, you're trading natural gas, perhaps switching to a less volatile instrument could reduce your drawdown. This also might reduce your profit if your strategy is not built for it. But if you kind of have these like boom and bust cycles of, yeah, I just made heaps of money, damn, I just lost heaps of money, then I think probably a less volatile instrument would be good here, because you wouldn't have such big winners and big losers. It would be more like consistent results for you. And if you didn't know, whatever it is that you lose, you actually have to win even more just to get back to break even. So for example, if you lose 10% of your money, you have to make 11% to get to break even. If you lose 50% of your money, you have to make 100% just to get back to break even. So this is why reducing your drawdown is the easiest way to make more money. Because by losing less, you have to gain less to make more money, if that makes sense. So using a less volatile instrument can be valuable here. And if you're trading on multiple instruments, if you're trading on multiple instruments or different time frames, then perhaps diversifying your portfolio could also achieve this. And you should pick instruments that aren't correlated. So let's say you have one that's in natural gas, then you might put another one that's like in gold or something. That way, if natural gas has a big dip and gold's relatively steady, having money in both of those will actually offset the losses from natural gas, which reduces your drawdown. Ideally, you want to have strategies for both of these that both go upwards in the long term, so you're not reducing your profits from diversification. And if you want to take the diversification a step further, you can hedge your trades. Now, this might not make as much money in the long run, but it will reduce your drawdowns. And I don't necessarily just mean taking a buy and a sell position at the same time, because that has net zero. But let's say you're trading like an index that goes up, and then you also trade like government bonds, for example. The correlation isn't perfect, but if you look back, you'll see that when indexes are going up and then they have a crash, you'll see that government bonds tend to go up. So if you have a market crash and you're exposed to both of those, then the bonds increasing will offset the losses you have from a crash. So instead of losing 65% in 2008, maybe you would have only lost 30. And then, as I said before, if you lose 50%, you have to make 100. Well, if you only lose 30, then you might only have to make like 50 or 60. That's just a guess. I'm not certain on the number, but you get the point. Tip number three, and this is a no-brainer. If you're not doing it, you're gonna fail. Follow your strategy. It's so simple, yet so hard for people to do, right? You make your strategy, you backtest it, you adjust it, you backtest it. The results are amazing. You got a maximum drawdown of 10%. Wow, this is great. Why don't you follow it? You've backtested it. You've done all this effort. You know it works. How come in the heat of the moment you go, nah, I'm going to move the take profit. I'm going to move the stop loss. I know better than my strategy. No, you don't. You're thinking emotionally and irrationally. You made the strategy for a reason. Follow it. And if you're not going to, then you should stop trading, because you're going to lose money. I've been there. I've done it. I've lost money. I get it. It's hard. It's emotional. It's stressful. But you have to do your best to follow the strategy that you planned, because if you don't, I'll say it again, you're gonna lose money. So please follow your strategy. Okay, so they're pretty much the real easy ones you can do. If you wanna take it a step further now, the next thing you could do is introduce qualifiers and or supporting indicators. So I said this in my last podcast, but I'll say it again. Qualifiers are usually an indicator that you'll use to determine whether it's okay to take an entry. So for example, if you have a moving average and during a market crash, the moving average goes down, then basically what that says is it's not okay to take a buy right now because we're in downtrending territory. So taking a buy is the big stupid. And then once you get to the bottom, it turns around and the moving average points back up. It's like, okay, we're in upwards trending territory. Now you can take some buys. So that's basically what a qualifier is. It lets you know if it's okay to enter the market. And then if you add some supporting indicators, so let's say you have an RSI and it becomes oversold and you think, okay, now's a good time to buy. Well, do other indicators say it's a good time to buy? Does the stochastic, does the money flow index, does the momentum indicator, do they all point to taking a buy as well? If you're going based on just one, you might be getting like a false positive. Whereas if you have like 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 that all line up, you're increasing your chances of actually taking a good trade. And again, when you're introducing these qualifiers and supporting indicators, you will need to go back and backtest, take notes, adjust, backtest, adjust. You get the point. Thing number 5 that you can do to reduce your drawdown is scale in and out of positions. This effectively reduces your risk, especially when it goes wrong or against you. Now, I'm going to give you an extreme example here, but that's just to drive the point home. Let's say you have your great strategy, you've backtested, you've got the qualifiers, the supporting indicators, all 10 indicators are lining up saying buy now, it's a high probability entry. You go in with 100% of your money. It looks like it's going good. It's going good. It's going up. It's nearly at the take profit. Boom. You lose all your money. It was so close, but you just missed it. Okay, now let's say instead you still have the great strategy, you get the good entry signal. You only go in with 50% this time and you set a take profit in between the price and your other one. And this take profit is a 50% take profit. So you go in with 50%, it goes up, it hits that first take profit. Now you've got a confirmation that the trend's going well and you've got a good trade. Now you go in with the other 50% of your money. The price goes up and it again doesn't quite hit the take profit and goes down. Well, you've already taken that 50% of take profit and then the other 50% loses. So the net outcome here is zero, which, oh, zero. That's better than negative 100. Literally, you just took your maximum drawdown from 100 to zero just by scaling in your trades. Now, there are multiple different ways to scale in. You can scale in 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, or you can do 50%, 50%. Same with take profits. You can set multiple little take profits, 10%, 10%, 10%, or you can do 50%, 50%. The percentages are up to you, but basically to help you decide which you should be doing, bigger jumps will equal bigger profits when something goes well, but also it'll equal bigger losses when stuff goes bad. Personally, from what I've seen in my trading is that I tend to perform better with like bigger percentage entries and exits, but with very strategically set take profit and stop loss levels. Whereas if you prefer to just like set a level, let's say, oh, my take profit's at 5%, then I think at that point, maybe scaling in with smaller numbers would be better. So it's up to you which you prefer. I can't tell you where to put your take profits, your stop losses, and how much to scale in. Tip number 6, and this kind of builds upon number 5 with the take profits and the stop losses, is use different kinds of stops or take profits. You don't just have to use a static stop or a static take profit. For example, you might have heard of a trailing stop, which if this is the price, your stop loss starts down here and it follows price as it goes up. And then when it turns around, it hits the trailing stop and takes your money here. So even though the price turned around, you still made money. But there are other kinds too. For example, you have the volatility stop indicator that will give you like a dynamic place. So when you enter the trade, it'll give you, this is where you should place your stop loss. The Donchian channels might be good for this as well. The parabolic SAR. So for example, it's got the little dots. When you enter a trade, you take a short position, the little dot above it, that'll be where you set your stop loss, and vice versa when you're entering a long position. Bollinger Bands, if it falls outside of the Bollinger Bands, you take a buy. The upper level of the Bollinger Band might be where you take your profit. And that Bollinger Bands one is something that I like to do in my own trading. It seems to produce pretty good entry and exit signals, so I like that one personally, but that doesn't mean you should use it on my word. You should do your own testing to see which works best for your trading style. Tip number 7 to reduce your drawdown. And this one is super easy to do. Although it doesn't technically reduce your drawdown, it will lead to like exponential growth in your trading portfolio. And that is to fund your drawdowns. So let's say you have a strategy that on average, it makes 1,000, loses 100, makes 1,000, loses 100. When you lose 100, if you have like an outside job or something, put $100 in to cover that loss. So now yeah, you still did lose the 10%. But as far as your trading capital knows, it's just been replaced and it's lost zero. So now instead of trading with, so you make 1,000 and you lose 100. So instead of now trading with 900, you're still back at 1,000. So you can make profit based on that. Then you lose 10%. Instead of being at 1,800, now you're at 2,000. And at some point, this is gonna get too hard to do, but covering your losses as good as you can lead to like immediate reductions in drawdown in the short term anyway. And ideally, at the same time that you do this, you will want to implement the other tips to actually reduce your drawdown. And lucky last, tip number 8 is to track your trading performance. So ideally, you'll keep a little trading log of every trade you take, and you might write down your emotions when you take the trade, the reasons for taking the trade. If you don't want to do that, your broker might have a built-in like performance analysis platform. If they don't, then I know that myfxbook.com, that integrates with some brokers to track your performance. And that one's really powerful. Like, you can have a look at what hours of the day you trade best, what instruments you make the most money on. Do you trade better when you're taking shorts or longs? You can set yourself like weekly, monthly, daily goals. It's really in depth and it's really powerful if you like routinely look at these. So let's say like every week you look at these statistics and you say, okay, what did I do good this week and what did I do bad from a statistical viewpoint? And you can see, okay, this week I did really bad with shorts. Okay, why did I do bad with shorts? Next week I might reduce my position size on shorts and see if that improves my results. If it does, wow, that's good. Okay, maybe take that a step further. And basically just every week or every month, whatever you like, look at your performance, figure out exactly what spots you're performing well in, and do more of that and do less of what doesn't work. And remember, if you are tracking your performance and then you look and you see something you can change, remember to backtest it to see if it would have performed better in the past. The chances are it's going to be a yes, but if you backtest and it's worse, then it could just be a bad week, right? Bad weeks, bad months, even bad years exist. So don't take the 1 week of bad shorts as confirmation I should never take shorts again, because it's absolutely not like that. The longer time frame you have this data for, the better, of course. But let's say you take this data every week and you put it into a spreadsheet and you build a graph of your performance over time, then you can start to see what your average is like. And if something deviates from the average, you can say, oh, something's changed here. I might need to change my strategy to get it back up to where I'm supposed to be. So to summarize all these tips again, number 1 was backtest, adjust. Number 2 was adjust your portfolio, either with less volatile instruments or diversifying your portfolio. Number 3 was follow your strategy. This is the most important again. Number 4 was introducing qualifiers and supporting indicators to make better entries. Number 5 was scale in and out to reduce your risk. Number 6 was use different kinds of stops like the Bollinger Bands, Parabolic SAR, Volatility Stop. Number 7 is fund your drawdowns while you implement the other tips to improve your strategy performance. And number 8 is track your performance, find out exactly what you do good and bad, adjust and backtest. And I just realized number 8 sounds a lot like number 1, but they're not quite the same. Number 1 is when you first create a strategy. You have no actual trading data to go on. Whereas number 8, you've actually been trading and you have live data of what works well and what doesn't. So that's the difference between the two. Now, before you go in and you implement all these and you're like, I'm so committed, I'm going to get zero drawdown. You have to keep in mind that in general, when you reduce drawdown, your profits are also going to come down. But the idea is to reduce drawdown by more than you're reducing the profit. So if your strategy has an average risk reward of 5 to 1, so that means like if you lose 10%, then you're probably going to make 50%. If that's 5 to 1 risk reward, basically, at that point, if you're gonna reduce your drawdown by 1%, you should be reducing your profit by less than 5%, because that would give you disproportionately more profit to your drawdown. And if you're backtesting and you're getting like annual profit data, you want to aim for above 10%, because if you're below 10%, there's kind of no point trading really. The idea of trading is that you beat buy and hold. Buy and hold is basically you put money in an index, you do nothing, you don't touch it, and you make an average of like 10 or so percent per year. If you're making all these complex strategies and you only make 8% per year, is it really worth it? When you're reducing your drawdown, make sure, one, it's a disproportionate reduction in drawdown while keeping your profit high. And 2, you're not reducing it so much that you don't even make any kind of real money. So that's pretty much everything you can do to have smaller losers, reduce your drawdown, increase the accuracy of your trades. If you have any other questions, put them down in the comments and I'll reply to them. If you have any suggestions on what you want me to cover in the podcast, go ahead and leave that in the comments too. Remember to subscribe to the channel, hit the bell, like the video, follow me on social medias, all the cool stuff. And I'll see you again in the next one. Bye-bye.